you got wine work miracle. So make we four wheel, really make we wheel with four wheel. Four wheel, really make we wheel with four wheel. Push it the four wheel, really make we wheel with four wheel.
KXRNLP, Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
All right, this is KX93.5. You are listening to Ernest Hackman of the Importance of Being show, and this is my takeover hour. So I am here trying to support the station and trying to encourage you to support the station. This is, of course, member-supported FM radio, member-supported community radio here in Laguna Beach. And so in order to keep doing the wonderful things that we do for you, we're going to need some, we need your help. And so what I've done for today is that I have gone back and got a set of highlights from my show, which features live unscripted conversations with people making a difference. Gosh, there's a crazy hum here. So I'm going to go to, I basically pulled out some highlights of some of my favorite radio moments here at KX93.5. And I'll tell you, it was really super hard because I've interviewed some amazing people doing wonderful things. And, well, you know, you've got to whittle it down to six people and you know, a few minutes at a shot. And so that's quite something to do. So if you hear things that you are interested in, you can go to my podcast, which you can find at kx93.5.com/The Importance of Being Show. Beyond that, if you want to make a donation, you can call us at 949, you can call in the studio, 949-715-5936. And, or if you're not wanting to be on the air, you can call 949-715-4859, make your donation or make a donation at kx935.com/takeover or become a member, through the website as well. And remember, KX935 is member supported community radio for Laguna Beach. So coming up right now, I have a clip from, Dr. Corey Jorgensen, who has been in the community for many, many years, and he's a doctor at the Laguna Beach Community Clinic. And this is just a quick excerpt of a conversation that I had with him a while back. So here you go. This is KX93.5.
People, regardless of immigration status, they could come to the clinic and get
care. Ryan White funded. What does that mean?
Great question. Ryan White is a hero of mine. He was a little kid that got discriminated against in the school systems, and before he died, he testified in Congress to facilitate passage of a bill to provide tobacco tax money to the care of low-income men and women with HIV. So this foundation that administers these funds was named after him.
Okay, and what drew you to HIV care? You know, there's all kinds of specialties in medicine and people have different practices. So cosmetic surgery, HIV.
Which one will it be? Which one will it be? Well, I was a family doctor first. When I was in private practice in Costa Mesa, I developed a practice that was probably 10 or 15% gay men.
Okay.
And so when these guys started getting sick with what we came to know as AIDS, I was the go-to guy, one of the go-to guys.
Right, you are kind of already on the ground.
Yeah, and so over time, I learned more and more about HIV, and when the option became available to certify as to my quality of care, I did that, and that's where my certification with HIV came.
And it was really booming business in a bad way for a long time. Is it still like that? Can you kind of take us through the arc?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. It's still a dreadful illness to get. People don't die of it, but it's expensive to get HIV because you got to be in medical care in order to lead a normal life.
Okay.
However,
that is the normal life is a possibility now.
It certainly is. So yes, in the early days when we were learning how to manage HIV and learning more about medications, it was a pretty dreadful time to be in the field. But over time, we got much better tools. 1996, we got HIV viral load, which helps monitor how you're. Whether you got the right drug.
Right.
And secondly, we got triple drug therapy. And from that time on, then the death rate due to HIV began to go down. So in many ways, HIV, being in the treatment field of HIV, is a very optimistic place to be. You offer people continued good quality of life for their normal life expectancy.
Right.
And that's been a very positive change.
We all know, we know lonely. On that long road to Austin, had a dream, thought and lost it. I came home, found you there. See that smile across my face, ear to ear until I break. But you don't know. Do we know where the brothers stir? Fence and dirt, bread to feed, all the masses, all the greed. Who will tell the children? 60,000 chemicals fill our cups and fill our lungs. Who will cure?
Right. This is KX93.5, and you are listening to the Importance of Being show Takeover with me, your host, Ernest Hackman. And I'm here today asking you to do your part to support KX93.5. keep us on the air and part of the community. And, well, I should say that my show features live unscripted conversations with people making a difference. So that was a clip of Dr. Corey Jorgensen, who has been with the Laguna Beach Community Clinic for many, many years. And he was talking about his experience as a family doctor when the AIDS crisis hit, and it quickly turned, or his work quickly turned from healing people to kind of helping people through this process, which wasn't very hopeful at the beginning, but eventually science and research caught up with it, and so now it's something that is manageable. Also, part of my show is music, and so that was a song by Sister Speak. I think they're a band out of San Diego, and that was Coming Back, a song that I really love. So next up, before we get to next up, let's, if you want to make a donation and you want to donate on my behalf, you can call the studio at 949-715-5936. Or if you're radio shy, you can call the office at 949-715-4859. And Monica McCusker will be happy to help you. Coming up next is a clip from the Reverend Mandy Sloan McDowell. And she used to be the pastor at Laguna Beach United Methodist Church. She then moved fairly recently to take over the First United Methodist Church of Los Angeles. And basically she does church in a parking lot. And she has a small flock, but growing. And she's been, well, if you've been following the news, the United Methodists have been in the news because of a conflict over whether or not gay and lesbian, LGBT people can be part of the ministry, can be part of the clergy. And she's been on the forefront of that. And I have interviewed her a number of times, and she's just an amazing person, and you can kind of feel the goodness in her. So this is Mandy Sloan McDowell, and we are talking about her being a woman minister. So this is KX93.5. You're listening to Ernest Hackman taking over the airwaves and playing snippets of my show, The Importance of Being Show.
Why am I a minister?
No.
The shortest possible answer is because my church growing up was always very good to me.
Okay.
And my faith was always a gift to me.
Right. Well, and the reason I, you know, to I guess, come at this a different way, when you were a little girl, there were probably no women ministers.
None.
And so you're kind of a trailblazer, a pathfinder.
A unicorn.
A unicorn. Nice.
Yeah. Well, thankfully, other women had been doing this before I was, which is a gift. It's how I was able to do it. They fought long and hard to not only give women the right to be ordained in the United Methodist Church, but they also fought long and hard to change the culture. Even once it was permissible, it was difficult for them to be appointed into churches. Lots of people were really not okay with it.
Right. This, you can go to the school and you can take the test, but
right.
Yeah. Good, yeah.
But good luck once you get outside.
We got really no assignments for your kind.
Right, right. So thankfully for me, I was a generation or two removed from the actual trailblazers who really did have to fight hard to model for people what it meant to be a woman in ministry, and to do it while also frequently raising children.
Right.
So that was a whole new model for what a pastor looked like. They were very unaccustomed to seeing their pastor also capable of generating life. So those two.
And with actual children.
With actual children.
Orbiting about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And quite often, you know, women clergy, female clergy will find themselves in the position where they really need a clergy wife. They keep saying, like, I need someone to make the casseroles. Who's going to make me my casserole?
Right. There. Everybody's depending on me.
Right? So I went into ministry knowing, again, like my faith was always, I say it was a gift to me because it was easy. I didn't have to fight for it. A lot of people have to fight for it and wrestle it out and doubt is an excellent part of faith. It's a necessary part of faith. But for me, that wasn't, it was never hard for me. And I realize that's a blessing. That's a gift.
Right. Yep. There you go.
And as I was becoming clear,
something to be thankful for.
Something. Oh, definitely. Something to be thankful for. And when I was becoming clear on what I thought my vocation would be, I thought it would be counseling, pastoral counseling.
Okay.
Because I'd never seen a woman in ministry,
mm-hmm.
and certainly didn't think I would be one. And then I went to seminary and had to serve a church.
Okay.
And I loved it. It was everything I loved. I have a, you know, a music background. I had done some theater in college, so there was a lot of performance element mm-hmm. of leading mm-hmm. worship that I liked. And of course, I loved church. I'd always liked church. And I got to this little church in New Jersey where I was serving as an intern, and I had to run the services 7 of the 10 weeks I was there. And I sort of whapped myself in the forehead like, oh, I get it. this is everything I love. It's all of the things that I enjoy. And here it is in this one gig.
Right. You just and it's one day a week. How can you?
One day, 1 hour a week, right? I have so many hobbies.
That's yeah. like being a school teacher, only better.
Right.
No papers to grade.
Yeah.
But I suspect you have to make a list of people to pray for and things like that. So, yeah. So what is it like doing it? I mean, obviously you love it, but yeah. what's a day like?
So that's a good question because I do work more than 1 hour a week. It's a wonderful stereotype I get
hour
to debunk.
Hour and a half.
Well, it is frequently an hour and a half.
Get there early and dress up, right?
Right, in my costume. Yeah.
Something has come between me and the world that I knew. What I thought was lost is falling apart in the face of something new. How can I explain that I had no choice? The sound of the waves fills our ears and drowns out my voice. And I'm just too far away for her to believe what I say. She couldn't hear me. She wouldn't listen anyway. How can I write a letter that goes to so slow? And if I'm to disappoint her, that's something she ought to know. I can just hear her voice fall as I wait here alone. How can so much harm be done by just 2 minutes spent on the phone? You say that things will get better, but she would hate me if I let her. And she reads so much every word that I say. I thought that being a bomb would just bring us some variety. But after some time it seems clear that she's changed in a different way for me. I would like to shout at someone, but no one's to blame. It's just her, it's just me, and everything that it is just not the same. Sometimes I would turn back the clock, recapture all that we've lost. But I couldn't give up all that we had.
All right, this is KX93.5, and you are listening to a special takeover version of The Importance of Being Show. And my show features live, unscripted conversations with people making a difference. And so whether they're working as part of a larger organization or they're just one, I would say crazy, in quotes, person trying to save the world, you're going to hear stories of courage, remarkable courage, compassion, and hope. And it's you know, good news. And since good news is a tough sell, I play some songs. So that was Mandy Sloan McDowell, and she was the pastor for a long time at Laguna Beach United Methodist Church, and then she went on with her pastoral adventure. She's now up in L.A. at First United Methodist Church of Los Angeles. And a funny thing that came out in a later interview about that particular church is that their membership was, first off, it was started by a midwife, a retired midwife, but also those that the members of that congregation went on to found USC, big school that's in the news these days. So anyway, this is the type of radio or the type of stories that you're not going to get anywhere else. And I know I'm starting to sound like an NPR or PBS pledge drive, but it's really true. KX93.5 has given me the opportunity to bring in some amazing folks and give them enough time to talk about what they're doing in an unrushed fashion. So they're not reading from a press release or, you know, they're not hitting some talking points to make sure that they get it in within, you know, 30 seconds or what have you. We get to really let their story unfurl, and we get about a half hour to do so. It's a whole lot of fun for both me and the guests, and I hope for the listeners. So what I'm asking for you, of you today, is to do your part and to help support the station by becoming a member or making a donation through the takeover process. And in order to do that, you can either call into the studio at 949-715-5936, or you can call in the office, and that is 949-715-4859, or you can make a pledge online at kx935.com, either /member to just become a member, or through kx935.com/takeover to make a special takeover donation. And what I'm offering is what I believe is a pretty unique opportunity, and that is a chance to sit in on a live interview with one of my guests and really see what's going on. So if you're the person who makes the largest donation on for my show or for me under my name, I guess is the best way to put it, I will let you come in studio and sit in on one of our interviews, and for those who have been on the show, they know that the off mic time is as big a part of the interview process or the conversation process as the on mic. So there's a lot of laughs and fun and stuff that's going on while the music's playing. And speaking of music, the last song I played was one of my favorite cuts. It's called Spice of Life, and it's by Everything But the Girl, a band that I've been enamored with for many, many years. So I feel so fortunate to have the opportunity to play music for people, but also to sit with amazing people and you know, listen to them tell stories about, you know, their perspective, their world. And so I feel really blessed, and that's why I'm here today, asking you to help keep this going, whether it's, you know, Radio Neighboring or Tommy J with ukulele and surf music, or John Ford with Americana Radio. I mean, we really have a lot to offer. So please help support KX93.5. And coming up next is a clip from Hallie Jones, the executive director of the Laguna Canyon Foundation. And she's talking about, you know, saving the canyon and keeping the open space open and pristine.
Absolutely.
This is your time to
this
shine.
This is my moment. Yeah. All right, I'll take it. You know, one of the things we were talking about during that last song is really, I believe that people protect what they love. And because of that, I think it's so important to encourage people to use our open space and to encourage people to be out there hiking or biking or whatever it is that they want to do. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, last year we had 300,000 people come into these parks. I mean,
wow.
it's an incredible weight on the land. And it's hard on the animals too, right? It's hard on the bobcats. It's hard on the deer, hard on the birds, of course, you know, and the other animals that live in the park. So I really think it's important, you know, just as much as we're encouraging people to use the open space, we also need to be encouraging them to use it responsibly, you know, to stay on the legal trails, to not be blazing through the fields wherever they want to go,
right.
You know, thinking I'm one person, I'm not going to make a difference, right? I mean, right. We know that there's nothing else that makes a difference other than one person, for good or for worse, right? So, you know, really encouraging people to be that person who's working for good, and I think is a really... it's a really inspiring thing to watch. And I see that a lot, you know, I mean, it's times are changing here in Laguna. We see that in the canyon, you know, there's these big, you know, massive developments proposed for
right.
some of the
yeah,
canyon.
Some...
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's sort of the chance for the city and by the city, I don't mean city government. I mean, the city, I mean, us, I mean,
us,
you and me, right?
We the people
to kind of look at ourselves and think, you know, who are we and what do we want for Laguna? What do we want this really special community to be? And, you know, if 3-foot high buildings in the canyon aren't what you want, then give me a call and we'll talk. That's certainly the page I'm on.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for being on the show. You've been a lovely guest and a great deal of fun.
Thank you.
I hope that you will come back sometime.
Anytime. It was a great time.
Well, I think it's remarkable. I have people who have been victims or have had some trauma in their lives. And
with tags from mom and you and me, they were things that we always wanted. A bag, a coat, a Joni disc, a farewell note. There was nothing she couldn't face. She takes a car to the heart. She drives to the very door. And this is what she thought. Just a jump, nothing to it. Just a jump, I know I can do it. There's so much noise, but never a sound. It's a long way up, but a short. She had the boys, the grades, the friends, the looks of Marilyn. Perfectly crafted with makeup and performances. All the things that she ever wanted were seized by insecurities. Her demons were pulling on her dress. She she thought. There's so much noise, but never a sound. It's a long way off. It's a long way off. Just a jump, nothing to it. Just a jump, I know I can do it. There's so much noise, but never a sound. It's a long way off, but a short way. But a short way down.
Okay, this is KX93.5, and you are listening to a special takeover edition of the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. I do my show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10, and I am asking you to do your part to keep the Importance of Being show, but even, you know, KX93.5 at large on the air. So you can become a member for a very low price, or you can make a special takeover donation on my behalf, and you can either call in studio at 949-715-5936, or if you're a little shy, 949-715-4859. And so that was Hallie Jones, the Laguna Canyon Foundation. She's been on the show a number of times. We talked about a lot of issues surrounding the canyon, involving the canyon in the open space. And again, that's the kind of stuff that you're not going to get on commercial radio. Also, that last song was Jump by Savannah Gardner. And she's an unsigned artist, a local girl from town who... It was actually working at Laguna Coffee for a great deal of time. Played a couple of shows around, or a number of shows around town. In fact, one down at the Wine Gallery. She's since moved on. She's pursuing her career in London, but a very talented individual. But again, not signed. Where are you going to hear that kind of music? Fresh, new voices, and inspiring people who are working hard to make a difference in the world. And so some of my guests have included Jody Gates of Laguna Beach Dance Festival, Michael Irish, a Laguna Beach alumni and Park Avenue Player alumni, who came back recently and directed a show of Romeo and Juliet at our high school. Steve and Aaron Toth. These guys get me. They run Living Water Christian School in Haiti, and they basically were there on a mission trip and saw a need and decided to fill that themselves. And so they've been doing that for a number of years there and really making an impact. So these are the kind of people you would hear on my show. I've had other kinds of people, Laura Farinella, our police chief. I've interviewed Tyler Russell a couple of times to ask him, you know, what made him think he could do this and how did this come about? Anita Dobbs, a longtime English teacher at Laguna Beach High School. So many people that she's helped or made an impact with. So giving her that kind of recognition. Joanne Culverhouse, a favorite of many, many people here in town and one of my favorite people. Giving her a chance to come back and speak in her own voice. It was one of the clips I couldn't fit in, but she tells the story of how she came to ride a unicycle. And it's hilarious, and it's totally her. So if you're a fan of hers, you want to go back and check out KX93.5, The Importance of Being podcast, and find that episode. It's amazing. Let's see. Robin Renagi of School Power, Chris Prelitz of Transition Laguna, and you know, a person who's really trying to change the fabric of the community for the best. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm doing on the Importance of Being show. That's the kind of stuff that Tyler Russell and KX93.5 and Monica McCusker is involved in and is providing this resource for the community. So do your part, make a donation, become a member, and support KX93.5. Coming up next is a clip from Jennifer Faith. She was a battered wife, and I've interviewed her a number of times, and we've kind of followed her journey from trauma to healing to helping others heal. And it's, again, they're all my favorites, but this is one that sticks out and is remarkable to me. So this is Jennifer Faith, and you're listening to KX93.5 and a special takeover edition of the Importance of Being show. Well, I think it's remarkable. I have met people who have been victims or have had some trauma in their lives, and many of them make the escape from the traumatic situation, mm-hmm. but very few of them do the healing and right. then are able to come out on the other side.
That's right.
Happy and stronger and mm-hmm. better. So for that, I commend you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So you went through this process of healing yourself, and then you were kind of on your merry way, if you will, mm-hmm. but that wasn't enough for you. You wanted to help other people who've gone through this process. So I think you wrote a couple of books.
That's right. Yeah. When I was in the safe house, you know, I'm like checked in under an assumed name. I'm like skin and bones. I was so underweight just from stress and so much fear. And I just couldn't believe what my life had become. I had this really powerful encounter with God, and he kind of basically said, look, I've got this. I'm going to fight your battles, and I want you free. And in return, he kind of gave me my mission, and I felt like he told me my job was to tell people that Jesus is real, and he does what he said he came to do. And what that means is when Jesus was in the temple, you know, he unrolled a scroll to talk about himself, and he didn't say, I came to make people as religious as possible, and blah, blah, blah.
Here are my rules that I've laid down.
He didn't say that. He unrolled a scroll, and he read, I came to bind up broken hearts. I came to set people free from darkness and release them from prison. And that's what he did for me. He bound up my very, very broken heart that had been shattered into a million little pieces.
Okay.
He put it back together, and he's the one that put balm on me and dressed me and healed me. And he did set me free from prison and release me from darkness and lies, and he did it for me, and he wants to do it for the people. So I've had this kind of fire in my belly since then to preach this message, and it's gone really well. It's, you know, but just me, and thankfully God brought along a partner in crime, my husband Frank, who's
that
been
was
amazing.
A and huge surprise, because this is our, I think, third interview, and the first interview, I got that you were healed, but I didn't think that there would be a husband.
No way, man. I was like, not going to go for that program. But God, he did not want to stop with that. He just went fully all the way healing, and he kept telling me that.
And so I think after the last interview, you said, broke the news, like, hey, I got married. I'm like, what? Good thing we weren't on the mics.
I know. Well, it's so funny, because everyone that I tell, they're like, wait a second, you were a man hater. I'm like, I know. I was trying not to be, and I know it's not right to be a man hater. He's like, how did you do that? I'm like, it was God. Totally God. And Frank is totally worth it. But anyways, I've written a couple books that you can get on Amazon.com. They're, and you can read them in 30 minutes or less.
Okay.
That's why I wrote, you just can't absorb a lot of information when you're in trauma.
Right.
One of them is 5 Lies Every Battered Woman of Faith Needs to Stop Believing. And the other one is What Not to Do If You Marry an Abuser, Lessons from the Girl Who Did Everything Wrong.
Okay.
And they're super powerful and effective. And I use scriptures to combat some of the lies that are out there. Talk about my own life. The feedback I have received is that they are extremely powerful and effective. There was a testimony of a lady that was in a shelter, local shelter with kids, lived the same life like me, and she was on the verge of going back to violence and taking her kids back to violence, and they were like, quit, get her the book. She read the book, she stayed in the shelter. That's all I need. You know, it's totally worth it for that.
Okay, this is KX93.5, and you are listening to a special takeover edition of the Importance of Being show. Normally, my show is on Sunday mornings from 9 to 10, and it features live unscripted conversations with people making a difference. I talked about some of the guests I've had, but before we get into some of the organizations that I've been involved with, that was a clip from Jennifer Faith. And it was a story that I've told over a number of interviews about a woman's journey from being battered to healing and then thriving and then going back and helping others. So, again, you're not going to hear that on commercial radio. You're probably not even going to get it on TV very often. And so I think that's the difference that KX93.5 is making, is that they've given volunteer show hosts like me an opportunity to share their view of the world and in my case, share music with a larger audience. And so I'm so super grateful, and that's why I'm asking you to make a donation to support KX93.5 and keep the music and the shows going. And so you can do that by going online to kx93.5.com/takeover or become a member, kx93.5.com/member, and or you can call into the studio at 949-715-5936, and we will take your donation live on the air, or you can call the office and talk to Monica at 949-715-4859. So this is me asking you to do your part today and help keep this going so that we can do more wonderful things. And speaking of wonderful things, well, let's talk. This is a really special one for me. Christiana Lewis, artist, humanitarian, and this is a special Mother's Day show that we did last year. And so I will share this with you. This is KX93.5. Tiny, and it did it take a long time to get to that point?
Actually, it didn't. I was really surprised because when I first got there, it was so chaotic and dirty, and you know, no electricity and no toilets,
right.
No anything.
And it's Pakistan. So there's a security situation.
No security. So when I first got there, the kids were running around crazy, and I thought it was going to be, what did I get myself into? And actually, it really only took about 5 to 7 days.
Okay.
And then the kids were lining up to get into my class and really well behaved. Yeah. So it works.
Okay. And so, but that was a while back. I think we actually talked about
Pakistan
the last time you were here.
We did, yeah.
So you've been doing stuff in the interim?
I have. I've been doing some stuff in LA, some stuff locally here, and I'm getting ready to take this in November to Chiang Mai, Thailand.
Oh.
So.
Huh. Mm-hmm. But there's also another kind of side channel that's been going on here that kind of weaves in with Mother's Day.
Something
you want to put out
there. Yeah, because my mother that we'll be talking about is actually going with me to this humanitarian trip in Thailand.
Oh,
so
really?
She is. So I am adopted. I was adopted at age 4.
Okay.
My birth mother had kept me till I was 2 and a half, and she just couldn't hack it. It was the 60s. She had no help. She came from an abusive family.
Right,
it was really terrible, but she tried to keep me, and she just thought she would just do the best thing. She also tried to kill herself twice.
Okay.
So
yeah, so she's got her own...
She had her own stuff going on.
Bumps in the road.
Exactly. So
and I guess oftentimes you're not really a full-fledged adult when these things come to you.
No. Yeah. She was 21 when she had me. And it's funny, I was thinking about it the other day. And, you know, back in the 60s, women didn't have the opportunities that we have now. We're super fortunate now.
Sure.
So I was thinking, gosh, a new baby, no help, an abusive parent, no support, and a job. In the 60s with a baby.
Right.
Right?
That's a juggling act right there.
Yeah. So anyway, I always came from a place of love and forgiveness for her and empathy.
Okay. So
continuing forward.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes,
so let me see. Where am I now?
I came from a place of love and forgiveness.
Oh, yes. So finding her. Am I jumping around too much?
Well, we have to get to, you've already told the end of the story, or at least this, the end of the chapter.
Yeah, right.
Is that she's going with you.
She's going with me, so I'll tell the good part. the good part. So anyway, she gave me up at 2 and a half. I was in foster homes many until I was about 4 in a children's home.
Okay.
And then I was adopted by a family, nice enough family. But something was always missing, kind of a missing piece. Probably I'd have to say a really big missing piece, a dark cloud. Always wondering who I was, where I came from.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm 49 now, 50 next year. And just in the last several weeks, I was really getting intent on making this have some closure. You know,
one way or another.
I just couldn't take it. I wasn't looking for a relationship with anybody. I just wanted to know who I was and where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
I was told quite a few not so nice things about where I came from.
Okay, right.
Turns out it's not the case at all. Anyway, so I found this group called AMA through another friend of mine, and I wrote in all this information, and I got a phone call like within 2 hours from this lady saying, "We found your mom."
What?
And I was like, "What?
Wait."
Yeah,
it's like almost 50 years of looking.
Yes.
And
really,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, passionately searching and seeking.
Uh-huh.
And you're like.
No, literally on and off my entire life. When I was a little kid sitting on the curb with a yellow pages looking for my family.
Oh.
Crying. Yeah. Oh. No joke. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Right.
So yeah, so I got a phone call from this great woman named Marie who runs this Alma Society, and she's like, "Yeah, we found your mom, and she lives in Huntington Beach."
Right, you are listening to KX93.5 and a special edition or a special takeover edition of the Importance of Being show. I am just about out of time, so I'm going to have to rush. The next clip is Izzy Paskowitz of Surfers Healing, and he's talking about having a child with autism and trying to make a breakthrough and connect with him somehow to make his life worthwhile. So this is the kind of stuff you're going to hear on the Importance of Being show. That last song was Sleep All Summer by the Crooked Fingers. And I'm just asking you to do your part and become a member or make a takeover donation. Okay, so this is Izzy Paskowitz of Surfers Healing on KX93.5.
Be on the beach with me and my friends. I can introduce him. This okay. is Isaiah, and he has these issues. And at the time, you know, autism was probably 1 in 10,000, and okay. it's now 1 in 64. Are close to it, but okay. it's
much more prevalent. Yeah,
absolutely epic proportions, and everyone has their ideas of what's really going on, but there's really no empirical evidence of what the cause is
right.
to autism.
Right,
we know it's a neurological disorder, and that's really about it. There's some things that we all think might be causing it, but for us, it was, or for me, it was my okay. You know, I got a man up, and I love my family, and I want to be a part of it.
Right.
And let's take Isaiah surfing, and it really wasn't. It really wasn't. I should tell you, it wasn't like I consciously made him go in the water, but every day we would spend with him on the beach, and he was in the water. We got these little gifts from Isaiah, these small moments. That he was happy, that he was a better person.
Oh, okay.
And so we'd go come back from the beach. It was just like we were better as a family.
Actually, reach him in the water.
Incredibly. Huh. So I took that a little further than him swimming all day, to putting him on my surfboard, and we rode waves, and that was a moment to me that was a real turning point that. All my friends around me, all my contemporaries, mm-hmm. you know, Matt Archibald and Shane Beshen, they had their kids were some of the best surfers, and now the best surfers in the world.
Okay.
You know, and I still had to wipe my son's butt.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah.
When I took Isaiah in the water.
And certainly not the pretty surf scene that you see in Surfer magazine
or
something.
No, we were in a whole different world, our own little hidden world. And a lot of that is, you know, isolation. And you feel so hopeless when you're isolated. So getting out there and being a part of your autism ohana, what we created, is important. But I will say the moment I took Isaiah surfing was so huge to me because he went out in the water, me and Kelly Slater's brother at the time, who was just starting to become the greatest surfer in the world, hanging out in San Clemente, his brother Skippy, I taught him to surf, and we took Isaiah surfing this one moment. And then in this one moment, Skippy pushes Isaiah on the board, mm-hmm. and Isaiah rides, and he stands up.
Oh.
And he stands up all wrong. He looked horrible. but he rode this wave in standing up, standing parallel like a skier. And you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
And when he rode that wave, it was just... It was just, I knew in that moment, it was everything to me, and not because he surfed.
Right.
Because I could see that through the fog and through the autism, he found a way through autism to make it count, okay. to make himself count.
Right.
And that was it. That was it.
And so what was he like when he finished that ride? Was he smiling? Was he... Or did it just go back away? Or how was it something that you noticed continually after that? Or
absolutely that day after he comes out of the water, he's happy. Your behavior's better.
Okay,
he is. The fog is lifted for a moment,
mm-hmm.
and in those few moments is the way you live when you have a child with autism.
Okay,
and that's good enough.
All right. That was a clip of Izzy Paskowitz of Surfers Healing. And coming up, I'm just about out of time. You've been listening to a special takeover edition of The Importance of Being show. And coming up next is Shayna Stabler.